In the name of Jesus, amen. Finally, I thought as I looked at this text, finally a text about someone like us. Not like those Pharisees or other people that hate Jesus and want to destroy him, though we have that aspect to our nature, but on the whole, that's not where we're at. We're more like Mary, kind of people who want to like Jesus, who'd like to get with the program. We just need some help with it, so here we are. Although I'm going to contradict this hymn we just sang, because I'm not going to sing her praises. If you notice the text on which the hymn was based, it's this John text. It doesn't have anything good to say about Mary. That was the text yesterday in Luke. So a little note to the hymn committee. The text reveals through Mary the magnitude of human thinking unable to grasp what is clear and immediate, and at the same time, the magnitude of God's patience, for he remembers our frame, that we are dust. So we look at the particulars of the text, just read your way through it. Mary comes to the tomb, and she says, "They have taken him away. We don't know where they have laid him." And then she weeps. Hasn't she been listening for the last 3.5 years? Listening as well as the apostles and other disciples, but not listening. A human mind oriented towards what it can grasp cannot grasp a resurrection from the dead. I don't think we'd do any better at that either. It just seems something to dismiss and somehow navigate what's happening otherwise. Be grieved about it. But notice, too, they have taken him away. Sort of like capture the flag or something. We have a dead body of Jesus around here somewhere. Who's got it now? And if we don't have the dead body of Jesus with us, then somehow we're missing out on what we wanted. So in our day, who has the dead body of Jesus? Oh, those Jesus seminar guys. They've got the dead body of Jesus. Throw him around like an old football. Say what he did or didn't do. And in the end, we wonder if they even have the dead body of Jesus. But they're not alone. Then there's the evangelicals, there's the Reformed, the Calvinists, even the Mormons, and now the Muslims try to get in on a little bit of the dead body of Jesus. Well, we're Christians too. We just have the further revelation that came after Jesus died. And we don't know where they have laid him. So true for an average individual trying to sort through this mess. I don't know where to find that dead body of Jesus, but I know I'd feel better if I did. So you can go to any bookstore, especially a Christian bookstore, and find numerous volumes, probably innumerable volumes, written about how someone thinks they found the dead body of Jesus and you could sort of hang on to him with them. Well, the Lord interrupts. Why are you weeping? It's really sort of his question for the whole Christian life. Why are you weeping? And if you read Acts, the question makes sense. Not much weeping in Acts, especially after Pentecost. Peter and John arrested for bearing witness to Jesus in the temple, threatened, warned, beaten. When they left, were they weeping? They were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. They went back to their friends and told them about it. They rejoiced too. And then they prayed, not for protection, not for safety, but for boldness. No weeping, just lots of rejoicing. So why are you weeping? Well, because we thought because we're human beings and we like tangible things, we were thinking that something tangible is what we should cling to. A dead body's better than nothing. But it isn't really. So Mary supposes him to be a gardener. Probably a promotion from what a lot of people think about Jesus. A gardener. Give me the body. I know what to do with it. A lot of that thinking going on today too. Church councils, congregational voter assemblies, synodical conventions. Give me the body. I know what to do with it. I'll put it someplace safe. We'll revere it. Think good thoughts about it. But it won't change anything, and it won't help. And so, need to correct the text just a bit too. That's my job, teaching Greek. Do not cling to my body, did Jesus say to her. Stop clinging to my body. Because the efficacy of Christ, the essence of who he is not the human nature in which he dwells, but that which indwells the human nature, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You want the body of the car and not the chassis, the engine, the interior? You just want the shell? It's not going to get you anywhere. Stop clinging to me and get with the program. Go bear witness to me. Go tell my disciples what I'm telling you. Meet me where I told you, when I told you, how I told you. And so the work and the person of Christ indeed cannot be hijacked. Christ does his work in the world through history, through all sorts of opposition, through innumerable numbers of people who think they have the dead body of Jesus and really don't even have that. The work, person of Christ is not a corpse. It is ever living, like living water, moving, having its effect, going forward, accomplishing good. And he does that through humble means. Means so humble as to be overlooked by myriads of people. Ink on a page. And it's not the ink on the page. It's not holding the Bible under your arm that does you any good like a corpse. It is holding the words of those pages in your heart and in your mind. As Jesus said, if you love me, keep, not obey, keep, hang on to. Don't let my words get away from you. And those words are what we find in, with, and under the water that never fail us. That word is what's joined with bread and wine in a sacrament that confirms the truth of the living Christ and that we will live as we are united with him. And the words of a brother or sister in Christ that says, fear not, the Lord has put away your sin, you will not die. Your sins have been forgiven. There is where we find the living, risen Christ who does his work until he takes us to himself. His name, Amen.